All right, here we go.
Atomic batteries are powerful. Turbines are speed.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, mark like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special. I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This show is going to scare you if you've not been scared already. And this is Douglas Viviani talking all things Star Wars, Last Jedi, Star Trek Discovery with the Sith himself, David Cohen. David, you there?
I am here, Doug.
He is actually, from what I understand, you have been transported somehow, some way to the thin red line between Star Wars Last Jedi and Star Trek Discovery, and you're going to report back to us at some point, make a decision, which is the better franchise, I guess.
Yes, that is correct, Doug. I'm in limbo right now.
There you go. And hopefully we can hear you well enough to carry the day here. We also have with us our Rogues Gallery, original member of the Rogues Gallery, Dr. Richard Richter from Patchogue Family Dental. And what's the other one, Hampton?
Hampton Family Dental PC.
How about that? Oh, you got to say the PC. That's important.
You
right.
Should, yes.
And welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Douglas. Always a pleasure to be with you and David.
There we go. That's great to hear. You know, that what we just heard was the latest in one of the true monsters of science fiction, Star Wars. That movie made, believe it or not, $600 million in the USA and a total of $1.3 billion worldwide. And it was just released in December. It's still making money. Again, of course, we'll talk about The Last Jedi. It was the number one grossing movie of all of 2017, and that was, again, we're talking about just 1 month's income. Think about it. So it's still making money to this day. Anyway, that series started in 1977, 41 years ago. Do you remember when it started?
I do. I remember it well. I saw it 7 times with my brother.
How about that? David Cohen, do you remember seeing Star Wars for the first time?
Oh, absolutely.
You
sure.
You went with your aunt, I believe, correct?
How do you remember that?
I remember it all.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I'm all seeing, all knowing.
I went with my aunt, and I was a little, I can say this, right? I was in a bit of an altered state.
And you were in a state of mind where you were open to all things sci-fi, correct?
I was open to all things, period, yes.
The other monster sci-fi series, of course, is Star Trek, right? And this year, CBS All Access On Demand made it the cornerstone of the launch of that service. It's 14 episodes, was so well received that actually 6 episodes in, they already renewed the series for another year. Subscriptions to All Access have gone up better than expected, and this series is now 52 years old. So this week we continue our search to answer the question that no one has answered before. What's going on here? What is the fascination with, and what is the future of both of these series? Dr. Richter, answer the question in 30 seconds or less. Can you?
Whoa. Oh my gosh, the pressure. It's, like I said, it's chemistry, it's action, it's adventure, it's a glimpse into the future. It's a legacy for, you know, older generations as well who became fans.
Yeah, it's something we could share with our kids, too, or try to, if we approve of it, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's take a look, I think, at something we need to see is juxtapose the philosophy of Star Wars as presented originally with that of how it's being presented today. We'll start off with a little something from Yoda.
For my ally is the Force, and the powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. and binds us. Luminous beings, Zobie, not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
So the force is everywhere. It was a new concept. It's an interesting concept. Is the force, Dr. Richter, some form of divinity, or is it something just as a work of nature in that universe?
No, I think it's actually an example or personifies what we believe in society as being our souls, the spiritual side of human beings. We're not just flesh. There's more to us than that.
All right, that makes sense. What about the next message from you?
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Does that resonate with you, David Cohen, in any way, shape, or form? Do or don't try?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I remember that. Yes.
And did it have any effect upon you? Just curious.
It did. It still does to this day, which is why I think, this continues to resonate with new generations also.
And that's the question. Is that message we just heard about, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but is that message presented in the new incarnation? I agree with you. It resonated with me tremendously, but I haven't seen that in the latest. Let's just listen to get a couple of these clips out of the way, and we can have a little discussion. How about talking about fear?
Here is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Ah, Dr. Richter, I know that's one of your favorites.
Yes, it is. Actually, the do or do not is one of my favorites as well. So you hit upon two biggies there.
And why is this one about fear resonate with you? Nothing to fear but fear itself, huh?
Again, it's all about your positive emotions, your negative emotions, the dark side, the light side. One emotion cascades to another.
Okay. And
this is true in life.
And that's why the original series resonates and carries the day.
Had philosophy.
Yes, and again, we're going to talk about the new one, but let's talk about one more topic here.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
Faith in what? What is he talking about? Faith in a divine, faith in himself, something else? Dr. Richter.
No, he's talking about... you set yourself up for failure, period, if you don't believe. And that, I think, was the moral to that. Yes, he was talking about the force and how strong the force was, and he didn't believe it. But again, it's a philosophy. It's a fundamental concept.
Now, David, you've seen all the original three, correct?
Yes.
And did you see the next three that came from about 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
No, sadly, I have not.
And have you seen any of the new ones?
Sadly, again, no.
So it's a perfect position. It's not really sad because I want to know, why did you see the original three and not the remaining, what was it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them thereafter?
Because I think when the next three came out, I took it from other people who were much more into Star Wars than I ever was, and I wasn't really hearing good things about them, so I never saw them. So then when it rebooted recently I didn't see it because I really had no one to go with. So that's the reason there.
Your son got a little older and your wife is of no interest, correct?
Correct. And I'm not at the age where I'm comfortable going to a movie theater by myself.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I had Leo and I had a Saturday afternoon, and I sat down. I rented both of the newest incarnations, and we turned the lights down and watched them. And we did have some fun with it. And he's only 6, so 5 and a half. So, he's not looking for these messages. He had some fun with it. I hope that carries the day. But, it's so much nicer, easier, better to see these movies in the theater, no, Doctor?
Absolutely. The theater is the way to go.
Because you've got that crowd and the excitement and the
energy.
Yeah, the energy, right? Mm-hmm. The force of nature, of individuals feeling positive towards this incarnation. All right, well, my only question then is, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, but what about and what have they done with this now? Dr. Richter, just a minute's worth of what do you feel? Are these messages important? And if they are so, are they carrying the day in today's incarnations?
No. Again, there's a lack of faith and belief and everything is gravitated towards action, action. So philosophy is diluted out now in the latest
so trilogy. We should not really have any faith that the new series is going to continue with these themes or add to it, huh?
No, I think we live in a different age now.
And it's not a better age then if there's no thought beyond the shoot 'em up, right?
Correct.
All right. David, do you agree or disagree? Where do you think this is going? From just you haven't seen the movies, but hearing this discussion, is it all irrelevant what we're talking about, this philosophy, or do these discussions and themes, are they necessary to make a successful movie franchise?
Well, I mean, Hollywood thinks they're necessary, obviously. I don't think they are. I'd love to see a Star Trek movie or franchise or Star Wars. That goes back to the original themes or expands on the original themes and isn't so much, you know, action-driven. To me, I wouldn't mind going to the theater alone to see something like that.
See, I agree. And we'll be back because we're going to now talk about the old Star Trek philosophy and then we're going to dive into more of a discussion of both of these classic science fiction series right after this. And everything old is new again.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is a discussion of Star Trek in this aspect. What philosophy of Star Trek carried the day to make it a series that has lasted 52 years, and there's a new incarnation on All Access, the CBS All Access, that is as popular as ever. We're here with David Cohen, who's in the Netherlands there in between, I guess you could say, Star Wars and Star Trek, trying to get a little feel. He'll eventually make a determination which is the better series based on Everything Old is New Again's discussion. David, you there?
I'm still here, yes.
All right. And we're also joined by Dr. Richter, a member of the Rogues Gallery of Everything Old is New Again. Doctor, I play that quote, which was from Moby Dick and certainly written by Herman Melville and a classic author with a classic story. Why did I play that, do you think? Just throw that at you.
I think you played that just to show the fundamental difference between today's series versus the past series.
Exactly. It was grounded in literature and themes and philosophy, and they borrowed from them. They quoted classic literature. Show me and tell me the new series. And again, we could also lump in here, if you want, the new movies as well. We're kind of just talking about Discovery a lot, but there's a couple of new movies that just came out. Neither of those incarnations have any respect for, allegedly, apparently, the written word or the classic literature, no?
Absolutely. I agree. I've got nothing with those. Nothing.
All right. So, I mean, this is, again, something that's missing that, I don't know, I think maybe if Hollywood listens to us, we could change the day. If they don't, then I don't know where we're going to go. We got to take the risk, though. We got to try it. And along those lines, so let's hear what Captain Kirk has to say about risk.
I'm in command. I could order this, but I'm not. Because Dr. McCoy is right in pointing out the enormous danger potential in any contact with life and intelligence as fantastically advanced as this. But I must point out that the possibilities, the potential for knowledge and advancement is equally great. Risk. Risk is our business.
David Cohen, we've taken a risk to have you call in from the Netherlands there. Does that resonate with you? Do you remember that? And or do you think that's overacting or acting at its best?
Well, that Shatner is overacting, period. So. can I throw a question back at you two guys?
Of course.
So, you know, they're 50 years old each, right, about Star Wars and Star Trek. Have there been any other franchises that have captured your imagination, even to a fraction of the degree that those two have, in the past 40 years of your life?
Doctor?
Well, recently, all the Marvel movie franchise.
I was going to say the same exact thing. Because Marvel, to us, were comic books in the 60s.
Yeah, we grew up with
it. Dreamed of what we have now. So we hope for better in some of these incarnations. Some are done very well. I'm really a big fan of the Spider-Man movies, and Avengers has been done pretty well. And Guardians of the Galaxy, which I wasn't a fan of in the comic book, but that's been done pretty well. So those, yeah, that's the best answer I can give you, is the Marvel incarnations. What about you?
But anything that's a brand new idea?
That's a very good question. Nothing. The only thing that comes to mind is like 24. You would not miss, you know, and that was, but
yeah.
You know, not really. I have to think about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, there's certain shows or series that you know, Lorraine and I enjoy, my wife and I, but nothing I think that's going to carry me through, you know, the next decade or two. You know, I
don't
know.
It's a good question. Maybe we should revisit that. That's a good question.
I mean, it's kind of sad. I think. Not that there's a void that has to be filled necessarily, but in all that time that there hasn't been an original thought or a concept that does for you guys what the originals have done and continue to do. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, the simple fact that I've got to revisit it, I'm sure there's something in some way there. I don't know, but yeah, it's a very good question because, you know, is it us that we don't want to look at new ideas, or are there no real new franchises that are offering what we're looking for? You know, so I mean, I really fell for Fringe. I enjoyed Fringe. I enjoyed, you know, but that didn't last that long, and yeah, it didn't. Nothing's really
right.
All right, we'll revisit that, and let's just hear about a little something from Captain Kirk.
I'm Captain Kirk.
Now, Doctor, was that a little bit of overacting, or was that really spot on?
I thought that's how I feel in the morning when I wake up.
All right, now let's explain what was going on there. Maybe Mr. Spock will do that.
And what is it that makes one man an exceptional leader? We see here indications that it is his negative side which makes him strong. That his evil side, if you will, properly controlled and disciplined, is vital to his strength. Your negative side, removed from you, the power of command begins to elude you.
So there we're looking at, again, some of the philosophies, or at least examination of human nature, that Star Trek has the ability to do. And that was a situation where Kirk was split in two by the transporter, and one was good and one was evil. And Dr. Richter, tell me if you even remember that episode.
I remember every episode.
And why do you remember this one, though? I mean, why does it resonate with you?
Well, it certainly was not one of my favorite episodes. You know, it's one that's philosophical. It's up for philosophical debate.
Well, and that's it. And it's the underpinnings of the show is let's throw some theories out there. Let's throw some stuff. There wasn't a lot of action in that show. It's a little fight at the end. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was enthralling. Let's just go one more look at a different topic that Star Trek examined in the 60s.
I'm not interested in discussing our differences. You don't seem to realize the risk you're taking. We don't make war with computers and herd the casualties into suicide stations. We make the real thing.
I mean, he wasn't proud that us as a society make a real thing, but he was talking to a person whose civilization would have a war. It's been going on for hundreds of years, where if by the computer they said that your area suffered casualties and you're a casualty, you basically walked into a machine that killed yourself. And, so it was antiseptic. It was easy. And there was an analogy there with the Vietnam War. And we're in this place here, and what's going on is over there is dirty, but we're looking at it on TV, and we're not affected by it. All of us should be affected by war. I mean,
absolutely. Again, you know, every episode back then, low budget, still gave you something to discuss, talk about. There was always some type of philosophical debate.
And you can talk about them back and forth. Like we talked about, David, in the past, we've had a discussion with your wife here, even about All in the Family, where there was a discussion back and forth. I don't care, you know, what your point of view is per se, as long as you have a thought behind it, a reason why, then we can kind of meeting of the minds and actually examine, if you feel like it, what your position is on this topic or that topic. And I think you tell me, I'm going to turn the table on you. Do you have feel that there are any shows out there that when you're done with the show, you actually think about the theme of the show and how it affects you, or even discuss it with Michelle? David?
Yeah, I think in the last several years, there have been a few shows like that kind of make you think, that aren't just all plot-driven necessarily, or you know, action-oriented. Yeah, sure.
That's great. You have any top of your head? It's hard to do.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, I think the whole Twin Peaks reboot that was done last year was a good example. I think there have been other shows where, you know, I wasn't thrilled about how it ended, but it did make you think about things. Mostly, I guess, on TV. Another one that comes to mind is Lost, Breaking Bad. A lot of these were a little out there, but the themes were kind of relatable to, you know, everyday life as well.
Okay, and that's good to hear and good to see, because I think we need more of that. I don't think we need shows to tell us or try to convince us. I think we need to have shows present as truthfully, you know, as possible, what the issue is, and give you the facts and make the listener or watcher decide for themselves. Dr. Richter, does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And David, you are right. There's been some good shows. You know, there's been, This Is Us, we watch Breaking Bad, like you mentioned, great show. Parenthood was an excellent series, but are they going to carry through generations and hold us enthralled like these?
50 years later, yeah. Well, when we return, we're going to examine both Star Wars and Star Trek and how they've dealt with death of the main characters. Does this tell us something about the future of these series and or if they're even evolving? We'll be back. This is Everything Old is New.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Good. The heat has made you powerful. Now, fulfill your destiny and take your father's place at my side.
There we go. Everything Old is New Again. Your destiny is to listen to this show and enjoy to the end. To that end, we are here with David Cohen and Douglas Viviani and our guest, Dr. Richard Richter from Hampton and Patchogue.
Family Dental PC.
There Douglas. We go. Mm-hmm. If you need an appointment, what do we do?
You call the number. Should I say it?
Feel free.
Sure. 631-475-1191. And we can discuss Everything Old is New Again at your appointment.
Including your teeth. The old teeth out and the new ones are in. Speaking of which, let's take a look at how this may have changed, this discussion of these series, how they started and how they may have changed for the better or worse. And I think one of the ways to look at that is to take a look at the death of some of these main characters, and did they have meaning or not? Did they evolve the series at all? Was there a meaning for these deaths to progress the story or not? I mean, from the Return of the Jedi, we just heard right before Darth Vader dies, his son is the catalyst to change him and saved him. So in many ways, the sacrifice that had been made sense. Even Darth Vader's death was something to honor, if you will, because he turned to the good side after all that struggle, right?
Yes, it was a very meaningful death. It was powerful.
And still memorable to this day. And let's hear, I don't know, did this one have any memory too? Do you remember this one? Let's see.
No, not like this. I haven't faced death. I've cheated death. I tricked my way out of death. And patted myself on the back for my ingenuity. I know nothing.
You knew enough to tell Savick that how he faced death is at least as important as how he faced life.
Just but good words.
All right, so there's a discussion after a character died, and we know that it was Spock that died in that movie, with Kirk trying to come to grips with death itself. And David, you've seen or you've heard, you know, the latest incarnations of Star Wars. Have we talked about that theme at all, struggling with the death of someone or even talking about it? David?
Within the franchise?
Yeah, within the latest incarnation. You've been hearing us for two shows now. Have we even brought this topic up where, you know, where there's some discussion of the meaning of someone's death?
Getting back to what you asked me before, you know, one franchise I forgot to mention, and you guys might laugh at me for it, but I think the whole Harry Potter series was, a lot of it was about death and dealing with that, and, you know, in a way that I don't think was ever done before. So, to me, that was as interesting as anything that had happened on Star Trek. I'm not sure if that's answering your question directly, but, yeah.
No, that's a good example of a series that, if I was a kid growing up in that generation, that may be my Star Trek. I don't know if they're going to continue with it or not, but it certainly did reward you with quite a few issues to talk about, right, Doctor?
Yeah, you know what, David? I should have remembered that myself. Yeah. I mean, my kids grew up with it. I watched it and enjoyed it with them. That's actually an example of something that might carry through for generations.
Yeah, I mean, they could do the Next Generation, yeah. You know, and so forth. And they actually are doing movies now. The what do you call it?
The prequels.
The prequels, yeah. Right. So, you know, that could be. So, all right, that's a good one. Let's
well done, David.
But Kirk is talking to us.
No, I was going to say, yeah, once in a while I say something semi-intelligent, so.
And we make a big deal out of it to make sure that you feel good about it.
I really appreciate that, by the way.
But Kirk is talking about death, and dealing with death is nearly as important as how you deal with life, and that's trying to reflect the idea that these series, I think, looking at the death of the main characters may give us an answer or some additional evidence
philosophy
as to what's happening here. Let's see.
Don't grieve, Admiral. It is logical. The needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few.
Or the one. I never took the Kobayashi Maru test. Until now. What do you think of my solution? I have been, and always shall be, your friend.
Now, there's a death that had meaning. It saved the ship, but it went beyond that. They spoke about the friendship. They talk about the Kobayashi Maru and no-win scenario, coming up with a solution, sacrificing itself so that others can win, if you will. So that you tell me, how does that relate? Did that in the scenario of losing a main character, were you satisfied with that presentation, even though you didn't want that character to go?
Yeah, I was very satisfied with it. It was moving. It had meaning. It had philosophy. It had drama. It had all the emotions. It was great.
It really was. And then we had, in the same scenario, same set of movies, four movies later, we had this Captain Kirk.
And make a difference.
Oh, yes. We made a difference. Thank you.
Least I could do. For the captain of the Enterprise. It was fun. Oh, my.
Now, he's done interviews where he said he added that "oh my" because it wasn't even in the script, and it was just something of Kirk seeing the next world and being impressed by it, or "oh my," we're going into another. You know, challenge, if you will. But other than that, David, did you see that? Did you watch that movie where he passed away, Generations?
No. Sorry.
Doctor, did that carry for you the same gravitas as Spock?
It did. It worked. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the way they wrote out the character.
And again, he was saving the day. It had some meaning to it. It mm-hmm. may have been more done a little differently, but it was something there.
And that's what you want. You know, you want to see your heroes on the screen. If they're going to be written out and killed off, That's what you want.
You want some payoff. You want some reason for it, you know? And he's passing the torch to Picard. So it all kind of made sense. And then now we jump and leapfrog now to the death of Han Solo in The Force Awakens.
It's too late.
No, it's not. Leave here with me. Come home. We miss you.
I'm being torn apart. I want to be free of this pain. I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Will you help me?
Yes, anything.
Okay, now, Dr. Richter, this may be a difficult question based upon what we just heard from Kirk and Spock passing away with some significance. Was there significance? Did the character Han Solo know what was going to happen? And or if so, did he know it would help his son? Or was it a total meaningless passing?
Well, that particular death scene, I enjoyed because it surprised me.
Right.
You know, I thought it was going to be a little more cliched with him bringing his son, you know, back over. And I wouldn't say it was meaningless. It's about parenting. It's about sacrificing yourself.
Are you saying that he knew that his son was going to do this?
He knew that it was a possibility, and he had hopes.
And how did he think that his death would help his son, though?
No, I don't think he went in there with certainty that he was going to die. I think he felt like risking his life
right.
to try and bring his son back.
No doubt.
Where the meaning was.
Right, but when at the end of that clip there, he says, I'll help you, what do you need to do? I don't think he knew that his son was going to take his life.
Yeah.
And therefore, he was acting on his information that he had in the best way possible for his son. But now in the bigger picture, that was supposed to have this character, Kylo Ren, become truly... Mm-hmm. Dark, on the dark side, with no redeemable characteristics and no more doubt. The next movie, spoiler alert if you want to turn this off, the next movie he has the opportunity to take his mom's life and doesn't do so.
Yeah.
So correct. That's inconsistent. How do we explain that? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It seems like he makes the unredeemable act in killing his father, and now he's washed away the last vestiges of good in him. And you're right. What the heck? All of a sudden he can't kill his mom.
Exactly. And spoiler alert for the latest movie, Last Jedi. The death of Luke Skywalker, one of the most revered characters in all of science fiction. There's not even a word. He just disappears. And there's no words after. That's it.
It's
no
pathetic.
One even spoke about it. Mm-hmm. No one even talked about it. It's
Luke Skywalker dies?
Yes, it's unbelievable, but this did not have any kind of significance whatsoever. It didn't advance any story. It didn't complete his hero's journey. It completely disrespected this character and his motivations. Yes or no?
Yes, it was, to me, a senseless death. It was very, it lacked drama. It lacked meaning. I was trying to figure out the whole purpose of that scene. It killed the movie for me.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrible. You know, I know it's a spoiler, but they really did not understand that character. I'm thinking that we've got writers here sometimes that don't even look in the past. I'm sorry. We have people that may have never even seen or understood that character. I can only come to that conclusion because it was the worst death of any main hero I've ever seen. We'll be back right after this on Everything Old is New Again to examine why we're talking about both of these topics.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
You have the right not to watch. You have the right to turn it off. But it is a sort of symbiotic relationship. If you go with open minds and open hearts, you may be rewarded. Whereas if you go with, you know, a set of impossible to realize expectations, which even you cannot specifically define, then we're bound to fail. And so I'm saying, you know, get loose.
There we go. That's Nicholas Meyer. We're back here on Everything Old is New Again. He's talking about Discovery, the new series, before it came out. Dr. Richter and I were at that convention. You can hear us mumbling in the background. And I think that that's the thing now. Let's look at these series with an open mind and try to talk about what is the future. Are they worthwhile? We just spoke about the death of Luke Skywalker and how insignificant it was and how it didn't propel this story whatsoever. Even Mark Hamill, I've heard in interviews, has been very disturbed about the way that they treated this character. I don't think that they understood what was going on, and or they'd be offending anybody. Doctor, do you think there's a good future or not for the Star Wars based upon what we just saw?
I think there's still a good future for Star Wars. Hopefully, the writers for the next movie are going to take a lesson from the critiques on this latest version. We'll see.
Okay, let's hear a little something about Star Trek. Let's just listen to the only Spock we've got remaining here, Mr. Quinto himself, right? And see what he has to say about Star Trek. And
really cultivate an appreciation for it and understand the intellectual underpinnings of what the stories were actually about. But underneath them, I think, were some themes and ideas that are really relevant and resonant to society and reflective of what the cultural movements were of the day.
And that's what we're talking about, the Star Trek movies. David, have you seen any of the Star Trek movies, the latest incarnations?
Yes, those I have seen.
Okay, yep. And based on his presentation and what you've seen, is it being well done? Are you enjoying those those themes and what's being presented in those movies?
Yeah, no, I very much so. I really enjoy them. I think, again, I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars, but I think the Star Trek movies are, you know, trying to stick to some of the older Star Trek themes. That's what it seems to me, anyway.
Okay, and I think you could see the latest one also. They did a new civilization, and there were these the new aliens. Remember, Doctor, that went through the ship itself. And
yeah, the inadvertent first contact.
Right, know. Right. Mm-hmm. So there are some new contacts, new interesting discussions there. So some of that, I agree with David. They're trying, I would say, in Star Trek. Are they trying too hard? I don't know. Let's listen to a little Discovery and see if this is...
But you are describing something out of the ordinary.
Restraint in the face of conflict. When a civilization acts in opposition to its instincts.
Maybe under the influence of something or someone new.
Great unifiers.
Few and far between, but they do come.
Often such leaders will need a profound cause for their followers to rally around.
A war.
Be very careful that your assumptions are not being driven by your past.
Now, there's a lot there. That's the new character, Michael Barnum, and also with Sarek, which is Spock's dad and her stepdad, talking about an interesting topic of when a civilization does something different, the Klingons are doing something different than they're known for, they must be doing it for a reason. And maybe it's because there's this brand new leader that is going to unify all of them. Doctor, that's got to have some foundation or at least some discussion points there. Not only that, Sarek is telling Barnum to not bring in your own prejudices, your own feelings of the past into your decision-making process. Use only logic. Yes or no?
Yes. Is there a question there for you?
Well, I mean, the idea, do you agree with that? Is that now we've got an idea that some of this is philosophy-ridden, even though it's a war against the Klingons?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. They definitely are giving you little snippets of philosophy here and there, nowhere near what the original series did, but again, very enjoyable. I give Discovery good reviews.
And some of that, think about it though, they're not self-contained episodes. This is a long arc. So in the Star Trek original, there were self-contained episodes where they could conclude them all and put a little quip and maybe a little line or two about the message or what have you. Here, it's you're not going to do that in the middle of the movie, so to speak. Yeah. Right? These are 30, yeah. This is like a 7-hour movie, and then there's another 8-hour movie, something, you know?
It's actually what I used to enjoy about Deep Space Nine. It was one continuous episode. And I enjoy that. It gives the continuity is something for me to look forward to.
But it doesn't lend itself to what we're talking about, the old school, where you'd finish it off every episode with a smile and a joke and a message. So something in there, a feather in their hat. They're trying, I think. And it's the first year of the series, too. And it's only 14 episodes, so we've got to give this a chance.
And the first year is usually the worst.
And this wasn't bad. I mean, yeah, this was it was exciting.
Very promising.
It really was exciting. Mm-hmm. If you went in with an open mind.
Think of it. Which Star Trek series had a good first season?
Yeah, this one did.
Yeah.
I really think so. All right, let's turn our attention to Star Wars.
Did you tell you what happened that night?
The latest
yes.
movie.
Yes.
No. He had sensed my power, as he senses yours, and he feared it.
Now, this is Luke Skywalker, afraid of his nephew who he's training. Luke Skywalker is a Jedi master. He's training his nephew and others. And in the middle of the night, allegedly, he gets up and is afraid of the dark side that's emerging from his nephew and kills him, or tries to kill him, I should say. Is that really along the lines of the Luke Skywalker that we know? Yes or no, Doctor?
No, it's not. You know, in the series, Kylo Ren says, no, he was going to try and kill me. And Luke says, no, it was a momentary impulse. He wouldn't have killed him. But the point is, it was out of character, just what you said.
Yeah, and it destroys my credibility in this series when they do something like that. When they ignore, you know, what has come before. Everything old is new again. I want to see Luke Skywalker be the hero. If you're going to have him in the story, I want him in some way to help be the hero for this adventure.
He's been exiled, self-exiled on this planet with all the teachings, all the scrolls, all the books, doing nothing but reading them. You'd expect a better controlled Jedi master.
And by the way, why was he exiled for all this time to appear in this movie and do as little as he did in this movie?
It's practically a cameo.
So what's the point? What is the point of holding him back from the last movie to have him die in this movie? An absolutely meaningless and unexplained death of a tremendous hero, a classical hero that could go down with the Iliad and the Odyssey heroes. You know what I'm saying?
And not teaching or educating Rey in the way of the Force.
Absolutely.
It was totally out of character.
Has that been the consensus among Trekkies?
Honest to goodness, I haven't talked
Star
to anybody
Wars,
about
Star
it.
Wars. That's right.
Oh, come on.
No, but I haven't talked to anybody about, and that's another, you know, question we can get to down the line. But, you know, who's been talking about it?
I've heard from other fans the same feeling.
Okay. Let's take a look at what's going to happen next in Discovery, what's coming up.
Incoming transmission.
From whom?
I'm having trouble identifying you. But it's a priority one distress call.
This is Captain Saru of the Federation Starship Discovery. Please identify yourselves.
Hails from Captain Pike, sir.
It's the USS Enterprise.
So now this is what gets me excited. We've got some exciting television coming up with CBS All Access, Star Trek Discovery. Yes or no, Doctor?
Yes.
I mean,
Discovery meets Enterprise.
With Captain Pike
exciting.
And Spock should be on that ship.
Oh, interesting. Fascinating.
Wait, so they're going back. Is this time travel here?
No. They've come back from time travel and so forth, and now this is their regular timeline. This is before Captain Kirk. This is the captain before Kirk, and if you saw the pilot, this is Spock is on that ship as a younger gentleman with a female number one, and I think, I don't know if is it a game they're playing with us, or are we going to see a number of episodes with that distress call from the Enterprise?
We'll see. I don't know if they're going to do anything with Spock there, but it's definitely going to be a young Pike.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's exciting. Either way,
very
but
exciting.
Spock, we know Spock is on that ship, so he's got to be interacting in some way. That's got to happen, but it doesn't have to happen for it to be exciting. And we'll find out. Now we know that Disney World and Disneyland have Star Wars all over the place. So there's a future for Star Wars. Is the future bright or not? Based on what I've seen, I don't know. Let's hear what Yoda has to say to give us a little hint. I don't know where we're going with this.
He did my words, not did you. Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher, failure is. We are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters.
All right, so, that's pretty cool. I always liked Yoda to give us some of those messages. We are what they grow beyond. We are looking at these series and hoping that they grow beyond the original. That makes sense? And to me, I'm hopeful for Star Wars. I'm confident in Star Trek. David, what do you think?
I think that Yoda sounds a lot like Grover from Sesame Street. Has anyone ever realized that before?
And Dr. Richter, what do you think?
You know, I think that Star Wars is going to have a long, healthy life ahead of it. Disney's building that Star Wars hotel and, you know, Disney.
But new stories, new incarnations. Are you confident in the next movie?
I am. I'm looking forward to
even the way they handled the last one.
Again, I hope they learn from mistakes and get better writers.
I do too. I'm not convinced it's going to happen. Star Trek, I'm really looking forward to that next season of Discovery. And Quentin Tarantino's incarnation might be pretty cool too. We'll see. All right, well, that's about it. Thank you, Dr. Richter, for joining us. Well,
thanks for having me.
We'll be back next week to talk all things pop culture. David, thank you.
All right, guys, thanks.
Drive safe. We'll be back. And Everything Old is New Again next week.